Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up in 20 minutes. Done. To a news. In 40 minutes, we go up the gut with Mraz's NFL picks for wildcard weekend and his always delicious, sometimes questionable football food of the week. Yesterday, you were not feeling great about yourself. Yesterday, you confused the FDA with the FCC. That's problematic since you're an executive producer on the radio side of things where the FCC obviously governs us. You were feeling so small, so low, you had decided it's a Wendy's day. And you had unfolded to us this massive order of chicken ranch, Asiago's.
It's the Asiago Ranch Chicken Club. Just be respectful.
Multiple junior bacon cheesers and
cheeseburgers and two of them, not 10 of them.
Four nugs, a frosty.
The Asiago Ranch Chicken Club. So that's a spicy chicken patty, a slice of Asiago, the bacon, the lettuce, tomato, the ranch dressing on a Kaiser roll. Then you go into two junior bacon cheeseburgers. And the key there is if you just do a junior cheeseburger deluxe, they go onion, pickle, ketchup. But the junior bacon cheeseburger goes lettuce, tomato, bacon with mayo, which I think is a better delectable item there. And then obviously you go the four-piece nugget because the Wendy's barbecue sauce, I do think rivals McDonald's barbecue sauce in the best of the fast food barbecue sauces. But the barbecue sauce really is the item there. The chicken nugget is the vehicle. And, of course, there's going to be french fry there, medium size. And then I usually go vanilla frosty of late, although I do understand the old-school chocolate. People like dipping their fries in there. Not me. I'm going to eat it straight after. That's where I would go.
Okay. Now, Pete put together the advanced analytics. It ended up being more than 2,000 calories. That was a 2,300 calorie meal. 2,000 calories is the FDA's recommended calorie intake for an entire day. Yesterday, I was thinking, this is going to end badly for Mraz. That's a lot. It's a lot of calories. But you said you had a pound and a half to play with because you were down a pound and a half from the time 2 weeks ago when you started the food journal.
Yes.
So,
yes.
With a pound and a half to play with yesterday, I've been told you bypassed Wendy's.
I bypassed Wendy's, yes.
Was that hard?
Well, yes and no. To be honest, the Wendy's I would have hit on the way home is right by the new arena that Schwartz always talks about for me to sneak into the car. But there was a big car accident that led my GPS to go me in another direction. So that was a sign telling me to stop.
Oh,
I went home and I went for a 3.5 mile run instead.
Wow, good for you. That's awesome.
But I will be transparent. There's no dramatic reading of the Fat Journal today. I did have a chicken and spinach dish that did feature pasta. Okay. So I had pasta and I did have a scoop of dairy-free ice cream last night.
That's not bad at all, though.
But I didn't make a big sundae, nothing like that.
Right.
It was Taylor, ice cream. All right, I hooked her up, and then I was watching her eat it, so Shawnee got in there.
Okay, so a morning that looked like it was going to lead to epic disaster actually ended up being a decent day for you.
Yeah, and the weather was the first time it wasn't bone-chilling cold, so I said, let me get and hit the pavement here. I took the dog out, and we went for a nice, nice long run.
All right.
So, yes, wasn't the greatest day, but could have been worse.
Good. Okay.
That's not terrible.
No.
That's actually a big, that's a win for you.
Yeah, that's a win.
You avoided temptation.
It might be 9-3, but it's a win.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a win. Stack that as a W.
Sometimes everyone gets a six-inning win.
Yeah.
I am in the mood for moist pork this weekend.
The Dolphins, of course, fired Brian Flores earlier this week. And NFL insider Michael Lombardi, who's a former GM, said that the reason Brian Flores was fired was perhaps how he treated or spoke of Tua. Apparently, Flores told Tua that he was more impressed by Mac Jones. Lombardi said, quote, if you're really honest, are you going to sit there and say, I can build a team around Tua? Well, that's what Stephen Ross wants to hear. That's what Brian Flores wouldn't say. We've seen all the conversations that Flores basically had with Tua, where Flores told Tua at halftime of the Tennessee game, I don't think Flores was shy about telling him, hey, I should have picked Mac Jones. I don't think he was shy about telling him that. In fact, I know he wasn't. Remember, I said there was commentary between the head coach and Tua during the season. I wouldn't reveal the conversation. Well, the conversation was, hey, if I'd have known you were going to be this bad, I would have picked Mac Jones. That was the conversation. End of quote. Okay, so take this with a grain of salt. Who knows? It's not Brian Flores admitting this. It's not Stephen Ross saying this. It's not Tua saying this. This is somebody on the outside of the Dolphins. And this is somebody who said earlier in the season, I'm not going to talk about it, and then talked about it. But if this is true, if Brian Flores told Tua, I should have picked Mac Jones. Ouch. That's an ouch. Now, they already had Tua. So I don't know if it would have made sense this past draft to then also draft another quarterback. But was Brian Flores fed up with Tua's limitations? Was he watching Mac Jones have a lot of success as a rookie quarterback? Was he seeing Mac very NFL ready, if you will, and Tua still a project and became frustrated? Maybe. And he'd be right. Now, he shouldn't vocalize that. He shouldn't tell Tua that. He can feel that. He can feel that way. But look, when your wife looks at you with those disappointing eyes, and she looks at you because you now have a pot belly, you won't get off the couch, now you've lost your hair, now you're not making her dinner, you're not taking her out to a dinner, you're not buying her flowers, you're not trying to woo her. When she looks at you with those disappointing eyes, you know why she's disappointed. But what you don't want her to say is, I should have married the guy in college. You don't want to hear that. You know why she's disappointed. You know you can be better, but you just don't want her to say, I made a mistake. I should have married the other guy. And that's what we're here. That's what we have here. If Brian Flores looked at Tua slinging those 6-yard slants every game, unable to throw a 15 to 20 yard pass, looking every bit as a guy that's a game manager, not a game breaker, and looks at Mac Jones in the division throwing for 300 yards and a pair of touchdowns as the Patriots are rattling off wins, and Tua can't get out of his own way unless you babysit him to 219 yards and a 5-yard touchdown pass to Gesicki, you might look at him and say, We drafted the wrong guy. I wish I drafted a different guy. But what you can't do is tell Tua, we should have drafted Mac Jones. You can't say that to Tua because there's nothing beneficial that comes out of that. Tua's a softy. Tua's not going to take that and have a fire lit under him. And it's not going to help his confidence. It's not going to help the team's confidence. It's not going to help your relationship with Tua. It's not going to help anything. Remember on Tuesday after Brian Flores was fired, and I said, this is the reason. It has nothing to do with wins and losses. It has to do with Brian Flores can be confrontational. By nature, he's aggressive, and he makes people uncomfortable. These are the types of things. Now, you might go, well, Bill Parcells could tell Phil Sims we should have drafted the other guy, and that's going to light a fire under Phil Sims, and he's going to yell back on the sideline, and that's going to get more out of him. That's just an old-school coaching mechanism. We should have taken the other guy. Once upon a time, Bill Parcells took a plane ticket to Los Angeles and left it on Lawrence Taylor's locker chair. And LT is like, why is there a plane ticket to L.A.? He said, because you get owned by the Rams. Jackie Slater owns you. We don't need you for this game. You might as well go out there and play for them. And this absolutely infuriated LT and motivated him to one of his best games ever. Parcells knew he could get to LT. Parcells knew he could get to Phil Sims by doing stuff like this, but those guys were fire. Those guys were uber motivated. They were fiery competitors. They had a lot of pride, and those were the things that Parcells knew you could flip a switch. It's also the 80s. Brian Flores telling Tua we should have drafted Mac Jones, that's not the same. Tua ain't those guys. Tua's a softy. Tua's a nice guy. And it's also the 2020s. It ain't the 80s anymore. That's not going to work. So if this is true, Flores shouldn't have said it. Did he believe it? Wouldn't be surprising at all. Is he wrong in thinking that? Probably not. But I'll also say this about the situation. If Stephen Ross just wants somebody to say you can win with Tua, bad job by the owner. The owner needs transparency, clarity, and truth. Can you win a Super Bowl with Tua Tagovailoa? Sure. You want to know how? You better have the best defense of the NFL. You better have a superstar running back, the best offensive line of the NFL, and the smartest coach of the NFL. Sure, you can win that way. You can win a Super Bowl with Tua. But you're going to have to basically game manage your way to a Super Bowl by having everything else Super Bowl caliber. You better have the best defense in the NFL. They better create a million turnovers. And you better never need a 350-yard game out of your passing attack. Sure. If you think you can get all those things, sure. The odds are you can't get all those things. If Stephen Ross just wants to hear sweet nothings about Tua Tagovailoa, he's on the wrong boat. Tua is extraordinarily limited. He's limited. He's just not the guy. Whatever it is, Burrow's got it. Josh Allen's got it. Lamar Jackson's got it. Patrick Mahomes has it. Those are just the AFC. Those are just the young guys of the AFC. Tua ain't of that class. Nowhere close, never will be. So, if Stephen Ross wants to hear what he wants to hear, Brian Flores ain't giving him that. Flores can probably be more diplomatic. Should not have said that to Tua if that is true. But again, if you're a franchise owner and you're just wanting to hear a certain thing, Flores isn't your guy. He's not going to do that. And he shouldn't. I hope the next head coach has the same message for Stephen Ross. Yeah, you can't win a Super Bowl with Tua Tagovailoa unless you are willing to wait for everything else to fit. And everything else has got to fit. And even then, we'll see. But you can't lie and be like, yeah, no, no, Tua's got it. No, no, Tua's, you know, he's really, really good. And, you know, he won in college. Because that's just not the truth. When we come back on the show, we are stunned to a news, and I believe we have history.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Made the first ever four-peat for Stunned to a News. Four-time champion, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I could get this $1 million.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio and a very happy Friday. We'll do Target Demo Friday a little bit later on in the show. Remember that the DA show is available on your phone. And you can watch us there as well. You can listen to us using the CBS Sports app. The Odyssey app is great because you can get podcasts of the show within the Odyssey app. So it's a one-stop shop for live listening and podcast listening. And watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Not Connor Green tweets. I've been listening for about 4 years, and I don't know if there's ever been this many Year of the Buffoon or 12 DAs in the first month, especially not number one and number two. I love this show. Hashtag, Peach, you screwed me again! I try not to be a prisoner of the moment. I really try to take a long view on things. I'm not always good at this. I try to do this in life in general as well, but I'm not always great at it. But I really try not to be trapped in the moment. But on side C of the PGP this week, Aiden the intern said, do you really believe Tiki could claim the number one spot of the 12 DAs by early January? And my explanation was, yes, I'm not going to guarantee it. Mraz put it well. It's what we're all chasing the rest of the year. But here's why it could, and I would feel comfortable saying it's on a very short list of the number one possibilities, and I know this already 10 months ahead of time. It has very significant hallmarks of the best moment of the year. The first one being, it's an outsider doing our bit. That always hits well. We'll be goofy. Mraz will say silly things, do stupid things. I'll say something dopey. We'll enact, reenact, orchestrate something ridiculous, a bet payoff, a hot salsa, an Easter bunny, something like this. Those things we'll organize and orchestrate within this house of ridiculousness. But having somebody on the outside fly in to do it, it's much like the Winthrop drops. When somebody else jumps into our insanity, it hits really well. Number two, it's laugh out loud funny. And laugh out loud funny tends to be what gets ranked highest. I like to say most memorable, But the fans, you have spoken. You want ha-ha. You want loud ha-ha. Tiki delivered. And most importantly, it's ha-ha about ridiculous Mraz stuff like oopsies done by a celebrity. I mean, Tiki's the greatest running back in Giants history, and here he is going deep into Mraz's, you know, wealth of absurdities. So it checks a lot of boxes. Now, will we do utterly insane things the rest of the year? Yes, it's what this show is built on. It's what my life revolves around. What's the next ridiculous thing we can try?
Penitence?
Sometimes I feel like I'm simply hosting a new version of Double Dare. What's the next way we can get really slimy and dirty and look dopey? But it's going to be hard to top Tiki. Now, yesterday's 12 minutes of Mraz stumbling through a forest, banging his head on every tree, was something remarkable, a whirlwind of Year of the Buffoon. And after the show, Pete said something so funny to me. He usually writes on a piece of paper in front of him when Mraz says something for the Year of the Buffoon. And so you imagine once a month or something, twice a month, Pete writes something down. Pete looked at me and said, I wrote 8 things down today and circled them. That was 8 things yesterday for the Year of the Buffoon, which as a compilation has about 20 things from the year. So Mraz nearly hit the Year of the Buffoon quota in one show yesterday.
He almost hit it in one segment.
Almost one segment. In fact, I'll tell you this. We could do a Year of the Buffoon from January 13th, and it could stand on its own. It could be its own montage. Dixieland Dan tweets in, the way Mraz just broke down that Wendy's order was a work of bleeping art. If you could replace like a quarter of his food knowledge with just common sense or book smarts, he'd have an IQ over 200. And I think that's, if I may, I think that really is what keeps people coming back for more with Mraz. It's that you have these moments of enlightenment where you speak so smartly and with context, but it's always about food or something surrounding food. Like when you can earmark what years a certain condiment was most popular. It's an amazing catalog of information in your brain that's almost always focused around food. And everything else erodes. Everything else has eroded. Everything. I mean, we work in radio and you didn't know what the FCC was yesterday. So,
again, I know what the FCC was. I was so caught up in a mushy brain moment. That was all.
But when you speak on something you know, namely food, it's like listening to Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I do think... that's some line. I do think that in my brain, I have learned a lot in school and have decided without my own personal input, just my brain's input, what I need for survival and what I could discard.
Right.
And let's face it, this was, I don't know what else I would be able to do as far as employment. Sports radio, sports media, food writing. I mean, okay, so I'm going to prioritize that stuff in the back of my brain throughout my life, and I'm going to ditch Who Was a Pilgrim. And that's just kind of, it's kind of like cleaning out an attic. All right, this one maybe my kids will want, this one I don't.
I think that's true. I think earnestly you watch every Giants game 2 to 3 times. These are pitiful, miserable, awful experiences that nobody would want to rewatch, let alone watch the first time. And you watch them 2 to 3 times. Every time you watch a Giants game, all of that garbage second and 11 quarterback sneak, third and 9 quarterback sneak, another interception by Mike Glennon, another fumble by Saquon Barkley, another missed block by whoever's on the offensive line, gets imprinted on your brain, and you completely discard all the old stuff.
You're
and
right.
Every time you watch a Giants game, you're forgetting more basic knowledge.
You're right. If I spent less time wondering about Will Hernandez's technique, maybe I remember right quickly without having to dig. That's right. It's Pangea, not Onomatopoeia. Right. Exactly.
Right. But onomatopoeia is still not a thing, for the record.
Onomatopoeia. Boom. Pow. Right. You're right. That stuff.
Yeah. I don't know, DA. I think he's half right here. I do think that we all have like a different capacity for knowledge, and he's used most of his on things that you and I don't necessarily think are important. But I can't sign up for the like conscious decision to get rid of Pilgrim knowledge because one day down the road he was going to talk about sports and or food on some kind of media vehicle.
No, I probably hit a point in like 2010 where I suddenly just had gotten so far buried on exactly who was on the Mayflower and who was on the Pinta Maria. Like those.
Right.
No, you're making your case very well here.
Well, the three ships, the Anna, Maria, and the Pinta Maria, whatever they are.
The Anna, yeah, Maria.
They're all Marias.
The Anna, the Maria, and the Pinta Maria.
It's something like that. The point is, I know that Columbus had those ships, and I know the Pilgrim had the Mayflower, but I screwed that up. I know.
But here's the thing, Sean. You don't know he had the ships because you have struck out now on four different attempts to name
the
three
of them. I know he had three
of them,
and I know the Pilgrims had one of them. And that should have been my key. That's right, he's not a Pilgrim. But I did know at one time that he wasn't. That's all I'm saying. I just prioritized, and I think we've come to a point, I think you brought up a good point. We all probably have the same amount of knowledge. It's a matter of what's the more important knowledge to have. Me, when I tell you about 2013 and sriracha sauce, you guys don't have that knowledge. But you'll quickly tell me what onomatopoeia means. So it's all about, you know, risk, reward, and valuing.
Exactly. Here's a quick test. Name the three boats of Columbus.
I know one is the Pinta. I think one is... Is one... It's not a... Is it the Santa Maria?
Okay.
Is that one? It's something Maria. I think
sure.
It's Santa. That sounds right. The Santa Maria. And I'm going to go... Beepa, ba-boopa, ba-ba-ba. The Pinta and the Santa Maria. It's not the Nuno, right?
The Nuno,
the Maria.
Nuno.
Nino? Nemo? No, Nemo. Nino?
Just give us three.
The Nino, the Maria, and the Santa... No, the Nino... What was the second one? The Pinta and the Santa Maria.
You're very close. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Okay. So, I mean, again, I could get there.
Right. Okay. So, and then the next test pattern is...
I could get there.
What year did guacamole peak?
Oh, that was 2014.
Exactly.
Okay, but
that's when
even
there was a
this
big Mexican
DA,
restaurant
that is...
boom in the country.
What's the shape of a circle?
But what were barbecue sauce sales in 2018?
Right. And by the way, when I say that, of course guacamole existed prior to 2014. I'm talking about where it caught on like fire, right? Mm-hmm.
You're right.
And why did it?
But is he, though? We don't even know that. Like, the year of the ranch wrestling was 2009. We just go, yeah, okay, fine. Like, but that's not even a discernible thing. You can't just, no, there's nothing to decide that. You can believe it with all your heart and say it as confidently as you want, but there's nothing to prove that 2014 was the peak year for guacamole.
Would you say?
Because you're not referencing sales.
Timeout. If you went... And you went to a Super Bowl party for the Rex Grossman Peyton Manning game.
Okay.
Would you say it's a rare party if you like, wow, you guys have guacamole?
Don't know.
Now,
I don't know that.
Post the, let's say, the Raven Niner blackout, you would go to a Super Bowl party almost expecting there to be guacamole. And that's what I mean.
Can I just do my update?
Yep.
Can I go home?
Can
Pete,
I go home?
Pete, come to my house at least.
Oh, thank you.
Pete says, can I go home?
You have heat?
Can I go home? Like a kid that has the sniffles in school. Can I just go home?
Early dismissal, please.
Okay, so Bogues has your headlines.
If you're feeling bad for fired Texans head coach David Culley, maybe you don't have to. The Texans apparently still owe him $17 million, having already paid him roughly $5 million. So he's going to make $22 million
wow.
for one season
awesome.
Working. Culley's firing, on a more serious note, leaves just one African-American head coach in the league, and that is Mike Tomlin. A number of minority candidates are interviewing for head coaching and GM vacancies this offseason. One of them, Brian Flores, set to meet with the Bears today. The Steelers expecting Najee Harris to return to practice tomorrow, today that is, after hurting his elbow last weekend. And as expected, Alabama wideout Jamison Williams declares for the draft despite his torn left ACL in the national title game. Sean Earmuffs, the Australian government has revoked Novak Djokovic's visa again. Luckily, he still has his Amex, so he can eat and find a hotel and whatnot. The emergency court hearing over today's decision just ended. Djokovic will re-enter detention tomorrow as both sides prep for a full hearing on Sunday morning with a match at the Aussie Open on Monday or Tuesday looming for Djokovic. The Nets beat up the Bulls in Chicago on Wednesday night. That game tipped at 9 Central time.
Yeah.
The Nets were back in Brooklyn last night and lost to the Thunder 131-109. Kevin Durant had the night off. Kyrie can't play, so James Harden was left alone for the back-to-back.
We played so well last night, so we wanted to kind of have some kind of carryover, but it just didn't happen. You know, we got in pretty early, I should say 5 in the morning. I didn't really get to bed until 7:30, you know, and then woke up early. So it was crazy.
So again, they played a 9 o'clock game on Wednesday in Chicago, got back to New York at 5 a.m., asleep by 7, and then at 8:30 last night played another NBA game, and shockingly they lost it again, 130-109 to OKC. The Bucks raised to a 77-38 halftime lead on the Warriors, then won 118-99. Golden State dropped 4 of 5. Men's College Hoops, number 2 Gonzaga, put a 110-84 hurting on BYU. Number 5 USC rallied past Oregon State, 81-71. And number 6 Arizona beat Colorado, 76-55. But number 3 UCLA losing at home in OT to Oregon, 84-81. That's career win number 700 for Ducks head coach Dana Altman. Just the NHL revealed its all-star rosters last night. The game is February 5th in Vegas. Players again representing the four divisions. Connor McDavid, Alex Ovechkin, Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon voted captains of those four division teams. The rest of the rosters set by NHL operations. Sidney Crosby, Artemi Panarin, and Brad Marchand among those left out of the game. On the ice last night, the Canadiens losing in OT in Chicago 3-2. Montreal, you'll remember, played for the Stanley Cup last season, now has one win in 13 games and ties Arizona for the fewest points in the league right now with just 19. Ooh. And now, that historic stun.
Wow!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Actually, first a sidebar as I tie up multiple loose ends before the weekend. First, our friend who received that pig heart transplant.
Yeah.
We wondered why he was ineligible for a human heart. The Maryland hospital swearing that was simply for medical reasons, not because this guy has a criminal record. The Washington Post discovered that David Bennett served 6 years in jail for stabbing a young man. That guy was left paralyzed. He's been out of jail since 94, but I guess some were wondering if he was somehow morally ineligible for a human transplant, but the hospital says absolutely not. None of that matters. This is just for medical reasons. He's got the pig heart. It's still going okay, but again, we're far from knowing if the pig heart's going to work, but apparently we know that this guy was not prevented a human heart because he almost killed somebody,
you know, and
like
that's
30
just,
years ago.
That's just karma. You stab a guy, you leave him paralyzed, you end up needing a heart, and you can only get a pig heart. There you go. That's why you don't stab people. That's why you treat people well. Be nice to people. You never know when karma's going to come back. That guy, when he's stabbing that other dude, doesn't think, oh, down the road, I wonder how this is going to affect me. Of course, he goes to jail. That's karmic as well. But Later on, you're out of jail. You need a heart. You need a human heart. All they got is pig hearts.
Yeah, but if this ends up being the biggest success in the world, then he's rewarded. He shouldn't have any shot at reward.
Well, this is dicey, though. He didn't get a real heart. He got a pig heart.
Well, it's a real
heart. No, but I wonder...
What, folks?
Go ahead, Sean.
No, I'm just saying it's a real heart. Like, he got a heart. I'm not saying he shouldn't have been discredited with a heart, but he gets a trendy heart that could become like a medical marvel and remembered forever nicely.
It's touch and go. This guy's going to croak. He's got a pig heart.
Well, I mean, I wonder, Karma, I might be with Sean here. Karma might be pissed. Karma might have thought, hey, I got this guy. Needs a heart, can't get a heart, ha, ha, ha. And then these uppity doctors are like, no, I got a pig heart. And they're actually one-upping Karma here.
No. You don't beat Karma. Karma beats you. At some point, pig heart guy is going to croak because he got a pig heart. That's what happened.
Or ceiling's going to fall on him, something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Ceiling's going to fall on him.
But aren't we rooting pig heart here? Because that's better for everybody in the future.
Yeah, so you know what? Here's what Karma, what happens. Pig heart works, he gets hit by a bus. That's what's going to happen.
Step off the curb, get hit by a bus.
Right. Leaving the doctor's office, you get the all clear, heart's good, we don't need to worry anymore, and then thump outside.
Boom. And then take the pig heart out of him and put it in somebody else's.
Yes. That's what's going to happen. This guy's going to get hit by a train once they realize the pig heart worked.
Step off a curb, get hit by a bus.
Exactly. Thank you, Jody. Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Mr. Mandaloria.
We are sharing a brain. Not a pig brain, human brains.
I can't believe Pete found that so quickly.
Okay. All right. What's the real stunt?
Yes. History.
Awkward story to a new awkward story.
The four-peat. The jarred fart harlot is back again.
Wow.
This time, at some point you have to, I think, retire as a Jeopardy or a Wheel of, like, Jeopardy. At some point you have to go home. Yeah. I don't know if we're there yet,
She's like Ken Jennings.
This time, it's an update on Stephanie Maddow's bank account. Now, okay. I think, sadly, we all know the story by now. Miss Maddow was, like everybody else, an entrepreneur, selling jarred gas and making good money doing so, but made herself sick by eating gassy foods to up her inventory. Mm. So she had to retire from that particular enterprise, switch, though, smartly to fart-themed NFTs, which are selling for $200 a pop. Maddow says she has sold over 1,000 so far, so that's 200K, and she's got $5,000 total. So if they all sell for 200 bucks, that's $1 million for graphic art about an attractive woman's gas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Believable. She could end. She's won this race already. I mean, just by being famous for jarring heaters. She's won this race. But now if she's making money not even doing that, just by having an artist paint pictures of her doing it, I mean, and that's selling too, she can't lose.
At one point does passing gas become known as a Rachel or a Maddow? Like Tommy John surgery is named after Tommy John.
Her name's not Rachel Maddow, like the MSNBC anchor, no.
What's
Stephanie Maddow.
Oh, Stephanie Maddow.
Sorry, Rachel.
At what point is this just known as a Steph? You know, where like that becomes common. Oh, you had a lot of, bad food last night? Yeah, I'm ripping Steph's left and right. Like,
I don't think that happens.
I mean, Tommy John surgery is Tommy John surgery.
So Stephanie Maddow becomes the Tommy John of fart.
We used to have a newsroom. Now we have a Mark Chernoff newsroom.
That's a memorial.
He's not dead.
I know, but...
So if she retires from passing gas in jar, now you associate farts with this woman.
You didn't even know her name, so...
Well, now I do. It's Stephanie Maddow.
Yes. Walter Matthau's
sister.
Still
don't know her name.
This is amazing, though. I mean, she is just an amazing business mind. I don't know who would buy this type of stuff. Either the actual jarred heaters or... art about the jarred heaters, but either way, people are buying it. You'd be surprised. Mraz wants Mila Kunis's brand.
Birthday's coming in May, Mila.
Danielle, I think you know what to get your husband. A jar of Mila Kunis's gas.
We'd have a big reveal party.
All right, so if you lose... bracketology this year, you have to eat Death by Salsa. If you win, you get a get to take a whiff of Mila Kunis's fart.
After eating Death by Salsa.
Kindly get eliminated.
As Pete might say, can I go home now? When we come back on the show, Mraz has his NFL picks for the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
All right, despite an 0-for last weekend, Mraz's picks have been very, very good this season. He's at 10 games over 500, 32, 22, and one push. He begins with Bengals and Raiders. The Bengals at home tomorrow, favored by 4.5 points. And you enjoy taking... Who day going to beat them Bengals?
A different era of Bengal playoff football starts tomorrow. And this number has risen to 5.5 in some places, DA. I truthfully believe this on the Raiders. I think they have gone so all in the last 2 weeks, surprising us with wins versus the Colts, the overtime versus the Chargers, that I do think now going on the road, Colts Cincinnati, going to be a little bit of an emotional letdown for them. The whole key here for the Bengals, the Raiders have been gashed on the ground all year long, allowing over 114 yards on the ground. Everybody's going to focus on Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, and this being Burrow's first moment here in the playoffs, and he's obviously won a national championship big games. The truth is, the Bengals need to ride Joe Mixon in this game. Keep a lot of ground and pound. The Raiders will have no answer for that. And I think the Bengals are smart enough to do that. And I think, in the end, that's going to open up a couple plays for Burrow deep in that second half. And I think this is a game with an easy touchdown cover at worst for the Bengals. This is actually my favorite play of the week.
Interesting. Okay, the Bengals have not won a playoff game since 1990, but Mraz likes them to break that streak, laying 4.5 points against the Raiders. Another home team he likes... laying the points is the Buccaneers, favored by 8.5 over the Eagles. Why do you like Tom Brady's Bucs?
Well, I'll say this. Obviously, we're going to get to the forecast in a little bit. Heavy rain, heavy wind. It's going to be a monsoon at points in this game. And I think a lot of people will point to the Eagles with the number one rush offense in the league as a reason to, hey, maybe this is a spot for Philly. I say nonsense. The strength of the Bucs defense is swallowing up the run game. They're one of the best in the league at stopping the run. And I think that Jalen Hurts in this spot... couple wet balls, couple turnovers, and ultimately, look, is any kind of windy, rainy weather going to harm Tom Brady? I'm tired of losing money the last couple of years betting against Tom Brady in playoff games. Not going to happen here. Even if this game isn't an offensive explosion from the Bucs, I think their defense is going to destroy the Eagles here, make them look really small. I think this is 24-10, 27-13, enough to cover the big number. Give me the Bucs here.
Interesting. Last year, remember, the Bucs were big favorites wildcard weekend over Washington.
Sure.
Did not cover that number.
They did not. They did not. I think that was a 10.5 point spread. They ended up winning by 8.
Yep. Steelers and Chiefs, this is the biggest line of the weekend. In fact, this has crept up to the biggest line ever in wildcard history. The Chiefs are favored by 13.5 points. And Mraz is taking the underdog Steelers plus the points.
I am. I do think, make no mistake, the Chiefs will win this game. The Chiefs will advance. Last week, many of us got burned with the Chiefs fooling around with the Broncos on that Saturday game. And it just feels like, for as great as the Chiefs are, and they dominated the Steelers just 3-4 weeks ago, they have these moments where they're just not in sync all the time. And other than Patrick Mahomes, the best player in this game is going to be TJ Watt. And I think the Steelers need to just look at last year's Super Bowl and get off of what they did a couple weeks ago, go to some more complex packages, and allow Watt to move around that defensive line and wreck this game at points. And I think they will have moments in the first half where this game looks really ugly for the Chiefs offensively. The Chiefs will find a way, and the Chiefs will get it going. But I think Najee Harris being healthy now for Pittsburgh is going to be a big deal for them on the ground. And I don't think that this is going to be a quick, hey, Ben Roethlisberger stinks. Here come the Steelers losing by 4 touchdowns. No, I think the Steelers are going to hang around. Chiefs are going to win the game, but the Steelers will cover.
We'll do the football food of the week coming up at the top of the hour because I want to keep exploring this game. This is an interesting one because of the line. There's also a path at 13.5 where the Steelers are never in the game but cover the number.
Right.
It's such a big number. You could see a 21-10 game that the Steelers are never in because it's 21-3 into the fourth quarter. There's a garbage time touchdown, and they were never in the game, and yet 13.5, you can't cover.
And the Chiefs, obviously, with so much success the last couple of years, a Super Bowl win, couple Super Bowls, they could be lulled to sleep in the second half knowing they've basically won the game. And all in a game like this, 13.5, all it takes to, you know, the Steelers rip off some kind of big punt return, or Najee Harris rips off a big 40, 50-yard run. You're talking about an extra possession of points that otherwise wouldn't have existed for Pittsburgh, where now you're thinking about they get in the end zone. Now you're asking the Chiefs, in essence, to cover 20 points off a normal game or something like that. So I totally agree. And again, a couple of weeks ago, the Steelers are a smart team, a well-coached team. They're going to just go get rolled by the Chiefs again for the second time in a month? That's hard to imagine.
Right. There's a reality where in this game, it's 19-6. It's a bunch of field goals. The Chiefs never really quite click. And you lose because you've laid 13.5, and the Steelers are actually never in that football game. So I agree that number is just so big, it would make me stay away. The best game of the weekend could be Niners-Cowboys. We're going to talk about that game coming up here next with Noah Eagle. He's on the Nickelodeon broadcast. There's going to be two broadcasts just like last year of one football game, one wild card game. Last year was Saints and Bears. He called that one. This year, it's going to be Niners and Cowboys. So we'll talk to Noah about the football portion, not the Nickelodeon portion, of a huge game, I think, for both franchises and both quarterbacks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.